Genetic testing is becoming more and more prevalent and leading some people to live in medical limbo.
Sometimes people test positive for a potentially life-threatening disease, but they aren't showing any symptoms. They're being called patients in waiting.
Here to talk about some of these genetic testing practices and how they're changing family life is Rachel Grob. She's the director of national initiatives and scholar in residence at the Center for Patient Partnerships at UW-Madison. She's also the author of Testing Baby, the Transformation of Newborn Screening, Parenting, and Policymaking. Rachel, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much for having me.
So define for us what newborn screening is and how it's done.
Newborn screening is a population-wide screening program for infants. It's done by extracting a few drops of blood from the heel of a newborn while still in the hospital, or for that small minority of babies born at home, midwives do the procedure at home. Parents will perhaps recall seeing a Band-Aid on their baby's foot or being present when the procedure is done. And the screening test began long ago just for one or two conditions, and in the past decade or so has expanded so that we're testing for many more conditions than was originally the case.
Are all newborns automatically screened, or is it something that parents must opt in for?
They are automatically screened. Many states have an opt-out provision, often only for religious reasons, which is the case in Wisconsin. But it is not a program for which consent is actively sought from parents, except for in one or two states. In Wisconsin, your baby will be tested unless you explicitly object for religious purposes ahead of time.
Really? And so then the results of the test are automatically given, or only in cases where something has been found?
Generally, parents are unlikely to hear from their pediatrician about the results of the screening unless there is an issue and they are called for follow-up testing. Recall that this is a screening program, so it doesn't by itself usually result in a diagnosis. It's sort of the first step along a pathway to figure out if there is indeed something wrong with the baby.
Do these tests have false positives?
They do, and this is a troubling part of the program. It has a very high rate of false positives, and so in all likelihood, if you receive a positive or abnormal newborn screen for your baby, it is likely to be ruled a false positive. They are increasingly trying to adjust the technology so that the rate of false positives goes down, but it remains to this day quite high. And when new conditions are added to the panel, which has happened at a rapid rate recently, the false positive rate is generally very, very high for those new conditions.
Wow. So talk a little bit about how they go about figuring out that it is indeed a false positive.
So they'll do follow-up testing for the condition in question, and it depends what the condition is, what form that testing will take. And they will either find that there was some issue with the blood spot if it was collected when the infant was too young, like before 24 hours old. There can often be problems with the blood spot, or it can just be some abnormality or artifact of the laboratory process. That's sort of one category. That's a true false positive, as it were. Then picking up on the introduction that you just gave to this issue of patients in waiting or people in this medical limbo, there are procedures that may result in the finding that there's a variant, a genetic variant of unknown significance. This means that our medical science does not yet understand what this kind of genetic variant means. There can be a diagnosis of a condition, such as cystic fibrosis, for example, which is a very complex condition. And just because the diagnostic criteria through the follow-up testing after newborn screening result in the assigning of the name cystic fibrosis, the disease label, to the child, that does not necessarily mean that that child will become symptomatic, because there's a very broad spectrum of how that condition and a number of other conditions we screen for are expressed by newborn screening. And, you know, an interesting point related to that is that logically, this makes sense, right? Because what newborn screening does is it screens the entire healthy population, not a subpopulation that's been determined to be at risk, and not a population that's already symptomatic, trying to figure out if there is indeed a genetic condition that could be responsible for the emergence of symptoms. Those are the ways that traditionally genetic testing was most commonly used. Now that we are screening newborns for a lot of conditions, we're looking at the entire healthy population and we're finding genetic variation, but we don't always know what the relationship is between those abnormalities that are detected on the newborn screen and through some follow-up testing and what the health outcome or manifestation of that condition will or will not be in a particular child.
So let's say my baby has tested positive for having the gene that could lead to some sort of major disease or disorder. What decision am I left to make at that point when I'm only armed with the knowledge?
Right. At the point of receiving the abnormal newborn screen?
Right.
So you will do follow-up testing, and depending on the condition, the degree of uncertainty will vary. For some conditions, there's a more clear diagnostic pathway, and with other conditions, there's much greater variation and therefore greater uncertainty. But you will undergo follow-up testing. You will become involved with specialists who have expert knowledge regarding that condition, and perhaps you will have a true positive diagnosis with a clear pathway that includes treatment that can prevent severe disability, illness, or even death in your infant. That's why the newborn screening program was created, to mm-hmm. identify those early onset and treatable conditions, and many families benefit tremendously from newborn screening's capacity to do that. With the expanded panel and the additional knowledge that's being generated, the information that's being generated through the testing and the knowledge of the natural history of these diseases that has not yet caught up, you may also be in the category of a medical limbo where your child has been confirmed as having a genetic variant of some kind or even of a condition, but it's unclear what that means. In some cases, there will be some prophylactic or preventative treatment that you'll be advised to engage in for your child. And in other cases, it will be sort of watchful waiting and monitoring and visits to a clinic.
Mm-hmm. Well, newborn screening is a fairly new technology, as we've been discussing, and it's continuing to evolve rapidly. How is it going to continue to evolve, and how will it change parents' experience?
That's a good question. We've just seen a rapid expansion of newborn screening with the advent of a technology called tandem mass spectrometry, or MSMS, which is now being used across the country, which allowed for the testing of approximately 50 conditions with one blood spot going through this tandem mass spectrometer. And that was a big change, because it used to be that you'd have a separate procedure or assay for each condition you had to test for. So that ability to test for multiple conditions with one technology really changed the screening program and made it inexpensive and sort of easily accessible to do that kind of testing, although there's ongoing controversy over what conditions we should and shouldn't screen for, and whether that criteria that newborn screening originally started out with of early onset treatable conditions that were acceptable to the community, it still applies, right? Because that's been loosened up and we're now testing for things that are not necessarily early onset and where treatability is somewhat more debated.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to have the capacity with new technologies to identify even more conditions and variants with whole genome sequencing, and there's already debate about the application of that technology in newborn screening.
Well, that's something to look out for. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you.
That was Rachel Grob of the UW-Madison. She's the author of Testing Baby, The Transformation of Newborn Screening, Parenting, and Policymaking.